So that's Dishonored 2. Now we're going to show you this reversal system. All right, that was Dishonored 2. All right, now we're going to show you the world. And it just, I was just like, are you kidding me?
This is Polykill, where two men, outnumbered by their games and at war with time, undertake the quest of defeating their lengthy backlogs. Please adjust your seat and prepare your ears for the banter of your hosts, Jake and Travis.
Hello and welcome once again to another episode of the Polykill Podcast. As always, we're your hosts. I'm Travis. You can find me on the Twitters at TravPlaysGames.
And I'm Jake. You can find me on the Twitters at TheMcAxel.
All right. Big show for today. A lot of podcasts, a lot of YouTube videos are recapping E3, and we think that's pretty trite. We're probably going to do that. We're going to be just like everybody else because we feel like we have things to share and opinions about this E3 as everyone else does. And
Diego wants to hear what we say.
We wouldn't be a podcast if we didn't recap E3.
You can't go through E3 week and not acknowledge it as a video game podcast.
Exactly.
Stupid.
Before we jump into the standard fare, a few house cleaning things.
Yeah.
I want to reference Collect Call 4 with Adaria.
Yeah.
That was a fun interview. She's a nice lady, knows a lot about the RPGs, was willing to share a little time with us, and I thought that went great.
Nice.
And a little YouTube thing going on.
Yeah.
Be sure to check out our friend Rusty.
Rusty.
He is he's covering old school video games for us.
Yeah, hidden gems
for some old systems, and we thank him for doing that. Be sure to check that out on YouTube. That's you can just search out Polykill Podcast on YouTube. We don't have our own URL yet. But we may one day.
Yeah, who knows?
Okay, moving right along.
Yeah.
On your radar for the latter half of the month of June 2016, Year of Our Lord, what are some games that you want to add to your backlog?
I just have one, and it's more a curiosity than actual, I have to have this.
Yeah.
And that's 7 Days to Die.
Yeah.
This is a PC port that's coming to consoles. Telltale is publishing it.
No way. Is it episodic? No.
I mean, they didn't develop at all. They're just acting as publisher to bring it to console.
Huh.
There is like a couple of Walking Dead perks. So like if you pre-order or buy the deluxe edition or whatever, you get a couple of Walking Dead characters to play as inside the world of 7 Days to Die.
So what is this game about?
It's like a zombie survival game.
Okay.
It's got really positive reviews on Steam. Which is rare for a survival game these days, because most of them are just being compared to DayZ or Ark at this point.
Right.
Or, you know, whatever your favorite is. But it looks interesting. It's going to be $30. You know, it's going to be a pretty cheap release. It's, you know, an MMO-style game. So that could be fun.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much the only thing last half of June that I even gave a half darn about. So
yeah, there's really not a lot coming out, and because of E3, a lot of things just drop right out of that.
Summer is a dry spell, usually.
It is. For gamers, it really is. We should be outside, probably, is what they think. For me, one that was announced during the Ubisoft press conference that they dropped fresh and hot right there.
Yeah, pretty much immediately.
Yeah, Trials of the Blood Dragon, which if you're familiar with their last Blood Dragon associated with Far Cry 3,
right.
Awesome.
Great.
It was just covered in 80s. It was amazing.
Neon and chrome and...
Who's the guy that they got for that?
Michael Bean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yep.
Was it Rex Colt? Was that the guy's name? Something like that, right?
Something like that.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
What it was awesome. Trials of the Blood Dragon's not far removed from it. If you played Trials, or is it Trials Fusion? Is that another?
Trials Fusion is the latest entry, but Trials has been going on for a couple iterations. So.
Yeah, it's basically that with that 80s vibe, and you get to shoot and do all kinds
fun.
Of cool stuff. Yeah,
it looks
like a blast. It looks like a big blast.
I mean, if it's like $15, I might get it.
It is $15.
Okay.
There you go.
Never mind.
The other one for me is one that you'd given me a code for on the PC back. It's coming to consoles. I probably won't get it, but I thought I'd share this news just because I really did enjoy the game. And that's Prison Architect for Xbox One, PS4, drops June 28th.
Yeah, it's in early access or game preview on Xbox One right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had a blast with it. I mean, it's kind of simulation-y and it's kind of weird. It's not graphically intense, but you'll find it being one of the most addictive things you've ever tried to do.
That's what I've heard.
and I had a lot of fun with it. So, console folk, if you don't have a PC, you haven't tried it yet, this is your chance.
Check it out.
That's pretty much it. We don't have a big release reaction from last time. Nothing really to talk about, so we'll move right along to what happened last episode.
Previously on Polykill, Trav and Jake beat Doom. From 1993, Jake splits down between Overwatch and Battleborn, and Trav adds another Super Nintendo classic to his backlog. Batman Arkham Knight is tickling all of Travis's precious parts just right while Jake continues to plod around in Oxenfree. Trav beats Super Hot despite technical difficulties, and Jake meets a sweet man on Killer Instinct. More E3 predictions were the topic of discussion.
All right, so we're back. What have you added to your backlog for this episode there, Jake?
Yeah, I don't think I added anything.
You didn't? Unless Nada is a game.
It's not. Okay. So, yeah, I don't think I bought a game. Yeah, no, I haven't.
You didn't buy a game, but you did pre-order some.
I did pre-order two games.
Are we going to touch on that later?
No, not really.
Okay, well, what did you pre-order then?
One was Battlefield 1.
Yeah.
Which I just... that may have been longer ago, but it's E3 specific, so okay. It's fine. But I do have Battlefield 1 on pre-order, and I got the Mega Hulking Collector's Edition, whatever it's called. I don't know what it's called, but it's the biggest collector's edition of it. Mainly because it's like my wife is super interested in the game.
That's
so
right. We
like,
talked about this. Yeah, the World War One.
Yeah, it's her vibe.
So does it come with a tank? Like what is?
It comes with like a big statue and like a couple of what comes with all the the season pass and the extra pre-order stuff and early access to the game and a few other things.
Okay, cool.
And I pre-ordered it from Amazon, so I got a 20% discount on
with the Prime.
Yeah. So it just made sense. The other one I pre-ordered that was within the last 2 weeks. And that's Persona 5.
Oh, of course you would. Yeah. That makes sense. Well, see, I don't consider either of those E3 pre-orders.
They're not. Well, Persona didn't really make a big showing.
They flashed the logo on the screen, I think, once.
Yeah, it wasn't big.
I was thinking, because I was going to prod you or make fun of you a little bit because I thought you were pre-ordering games that you specifically saw at E3 that were coming, and I was like, dude, that's like going to the supermarket hungry.
Right.
Like, you got to give that stuff a week.
But that's what I said in the tweet, though. I was like, it's...
I don't think it's foolhardy.
Really.
I think those are games you wanted.
Those are games that I definitely
those aren't games
wanted.
That you just saw
at
E3
and pre-ordered. I've been jonesing for Persona 5 since it was announced.
Yeah, yeah.
And even before. So I'm super excited.
Well, now I'm disappointed I can't make more fun of you is the problem. These are totally sound decisions. These are games that you'd wanted for longer. Like, I thought you just saw a game at E3 and you're like, oh my God, and then you pre-ordered it. I didn't
still
even know what game
that
could be. Okay, good. For me, I just added, and I might have even already added this in my backlog, but it's definitely getting played now, and that's Life is Strange.
Life is Strange. You want to talk about it now, or are you going to talk about it?
No, there's
side
really
quest?
Not, I mean, I've only completed an episode. I can just leave it there. I don't think I have too many impressions other than I like where it's going.
Okay.
So in terms of games completed, this not a game that you've been talking about.
Yeah.
You completed it.
I did.
With a sad face. In other words, you haven't completed any games.
Nope.
You've added none, you've completed none.
Pretty much.
So if anybody out there is looking to help host a podcast, I'm going to be by myself soon. If you just want to maybe hit me up at polykillpodcast@gmail.com, maybe we can get this thing rolling. No, I completed a couple games. Batman Arkham Knight, I finally got through that.
Yeah, you were playing the shit out of that.
yeah, I did. I went on a pretty hard bender with that. Now, I did what I said I'd do. I didn't get all the Riddler trophies. I got like maybe 30% of them. And then there's these other challenges.
Did you cover like everything else but the Riddler?
I did. Nice. Yeah, 100% at every other side quest.
Holy shit.
Except for the, there's these AR challenges you can do where it just kind of gives you a situation with bad guys and you get like high score points and it's kind of like a training
challenge
thing.
Challenge mode?
Didn't do any of that.
Okay.
I just did anything that had a story tied to it within inside the game. Like, it's weird. I have 98% of the game completed. Like, when I load it up, it says your Batman save file, 98%, but I have like 12% of the achievements. So... I guess most of it is...
Riddler trophy?
Yeah, those and the challenges, I guess. Yeah.
That's stupid.
Yeah, a little disappointing, but I mean, I'm not playing that game for achievements.
Right.
So, but,
still, that's a little disheartening.
A little bit, yeah.
Come on, Rocksteady.
But solid game. I mean, I've heard actually people talk about how that's not their favorite. They're like, yeah, too bad they regressed with Arkham Knight. And I'm like, are you kidding me? But I might also have a recency bias because I haven't played the other ones in a while, but I really did like this one. And the other game was a random NES game called Jackal.
Okay.
Have you heard of this?
No.
Okay, this is Battlefield 1 30 years ago.
So just garbage.
So completely different.
Okay.
Now you have you and I played it with a buddy. I tried to play it with Tracy because I looked up online what are some good co-op NES games to play because I was looking for games to include her in, and we played it for a little bit and I think it was a little too shmup for her.
Okay.
Like really twitchy.
Is it like 1941 or something?
Not really, but okay. Close.
Okay. So it's a nice tie-in that some people might know.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
R-Type.
The difference
like
is
that.
Like you're on the ground and you can run around and pick up POWs and shoot guys from like a jeep.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That's like the difference. But either way, if you're looking for a game to play with a buddy, I think it's more fun with a friend for one.
Mm-hmm.
And it maybe only takes you 20 or 30 minutes to beat. Like it's not an overwhelming campaign.
Nice.
Totally beatable in terms of what I would consider a shmup. So if you have a buddy or a son or a cousin or a nephew or wife that's into playing games, it's cheap. It's easy
or
to find.
Hostage.
It's fun. If you have a hostage or a sex slave and you maybe want to include them more in your day-to-day,
yep.
Try Jackal for NES.
Yeah.
They'll love it.
It'll enhance the Stockholm Syndrome and you'll bond. It'll be great.
Yeah, it will be great. And speaking of hostages, this episode is sponsored by Cowden Technologies, LLC. Caltech specializes in building full-stack web applications utilizing modern technologies like Ruby on Rails and AngularJS. If you're looking to take your business idea to market or have a software need that can support your goals, contact Cowden Technologies for a free consultation. To get started on building and launching your concept, email sales@cowden.tech. That's sales@cowden.tech.
Booyah.
Once again, we hope you do that. That was probably one of my finest segues.
That was great.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yep.
Right from hostages and sex slaves to Cowden Technologies.
That's exactly how it
They'll
works.
Love it.
All right. So we're moving pretty fast in this podcast.
We are.
You can't tell because we have a pretty big discussion.
Yeah. Just keep going. Keep going. Don't stop.
Okay. The long play. I'll let you go. I feel like I've been talking here for a while.
Yeah, it's fine. You have. Shut up. I have been trying to play a couple of games. One is Oxenfree, and I feel like this has been going on for like 3 episodes now that I've been trying to play Oxenfree.
You normally don't keep a long play
episode
to episode.
Not usually.
I have a few to
especially
like, I miss.
Especially a 4-hour game
like
Oxenfree. I just haven't had time. My life has been super busy, and some of it's voluntary. Some of it's, I've been volunteered for things. Not that I mind, but it's just I haven't had time to devote to gaming like I wish. Well, I've had time, but I've been too tired.
We don't need your excuses, man.
So I just want to,
just do you.
Watch TV or something. Anyway, so Oxenfree and then Gone Home is going to be my other one. Both of those are probably 6 hours total to complete.
Gone
together.
Home is what people might call a walking simulator with some flair attached?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, it kind of rattled the industry a few years ago when it was released. A lot of people were like, ooh, this is really cool. This is really good.
Is it akin to Dear Esther at all?
No.
I thought maybe it shared something.
It supposedly shares a universe with, this is kind of spoilery.
Mm.
And it's not even related to the story because the story is nothing like this.
Uh-huh.
But if you haven't played Gone Home or you care just about it, maybe a small spoiler. Anyway, there are theories out there that say that Gone Home shares a universe with BioShock. That's all I know. But the game is nothing like BioShock whatsoever. So anyway, I'm interested to get to the point where people make that connection.
I see.
But it's a game I've been wanting to play forever. Finally got it and am ready to move on with it.
Fair enough.
And it's crazy that I've avoided spoilers for like 3 years on this game. Because it blew up the internet for a bit. So
I'm amazed at how well I can avoid spoilers at like even the TV shows that I watch them so far behind on.
Yeah.
Like Walking Dead and Game of Thrones.
Yep.
I'm doing pretty well.
Nice.
As it were.
Very nice.
That's good.
Yeah. What about you?
For me, I already mentioned Life is Strange. That's probably one I'll tackle a little bit here and there when I get a free 2.5-hour, 3-hour block. Because I like to devote a full block to those episodic
games.
Yeah,
you want to play an episode at a time.
I don't want my episodes to be interrupted at all.
All I can say is episode 2 slows down.
Okay.
Or maybe 3. No, it's definitely 2. Episode 4 is one of my favorite things ever.
Okay.
Like, literally. I can't wait for you to get to it.
Cool.
I hope it has the same impact.
Hope it has what?
Same impact.
Oh, I thought you said semen in the back. Wolfenstein New Order is the other one that I'm playing. And
that's kind of scratching the doom itch that you've been having a little bit.
A little bit. And part of me wants, because it's not mine, I borrowed that from Brian is another reason. And I'm a little bit already into it,
yeah.
Maybe 3 hours. So I was like, let me just finish this off, because I know it's not a long campaign. Just
crank it on out.
I'll just crank it on out and get on with my life there.
It's a
so.
Good game.
Yeah, it is good. Now, it's losing me a little bit with story, and part of it's because I didn't pick it up for... I mean,
disjointed.
I set it down to play Fallout, so it's been a long time.
Yeah.
So picking it back up, I was like, I remember there being some characters that you come in contact with early that are kind of intimate to the game, and you're supposed to really like these characters, and I've seen them flash back up from time to time, and I'm like, I don't remember if I liked you or not. I just don't remember certain things. That's probably me ruining the game, having not played it in so long, like that
breaking continuity a little bit.
But even without the story, the gameplay is fun enough to keep me coming.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm okay with it. And it's still pretty. It's gorgeous for being an early release.
It's also a game that I think we had this discussion a long time ago. I think it's a game that handles sex better than any game that I've played.
Okay.
Yeah. Just putting that out there.
I think I might be already past that part.
Yeah, you probably are. It's within the first 3 hours, probably.
I kind of want to play it again.
Yeah, boy.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's it for my long play. A little bit of Nazi killing and a little bit of Life is Strange.
Taking some photographs, talking to Ashley Birch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Side quests, for me, Secret of Evermore. I'm still plugging around on it a little bit.
Okay.
I think I played for an hour last night and advanced about 10 minutes because I didn't save and got killed.
Oh.
And it just, you know how it does.
Do you have to
save
on demand or do you have save points?
You got to go to a place.
Ugh.
And I didn't find the place. And then I reloaded and found the place that would have saved me a lot of time.
Gross. But,
hey, that's old school gaming for you.
16 bits, buddy.
16 bits of awesome. What about you?
I'm still like side questing. If I want to, you know, enjoy an hour of gaming of wind down time, it's going to be Overwatch or Battleborn at this point.
Man, nothing winds down like shooting dudes for.
It's not mindless, mm-hmm. but the matches are. Overwatch matches are in like 15 to 20 minutes. Battleborn matches or rounds are more like 30 to 45.
Really?
So you kind of reset every time. So it's not like you have to get invested for too long. It kind of works with your...
It's a pretty long set of rounds, 40 minutes. I mean,
yeah, Battleborn...
Takes some dedicated players.
Yeah. But. It takes a while to set up a match. It's mm-hmm. a little long. But once you get in, like it can take 45 minutes to go through a mission.
Now, I'm hearing that maybe... Overwatch is doing a lot better than Battleborn.
It is.
And then it's, you know, the price has dropped a little bit for Battleborn.
Yep.
You think a lot of it maybe has to do with any way the game works itself, or is it
advertising,
marketing?
I think it's better. You know, Blizzard has a little bit better job marketing the game.
You just had a stroke.
A little bit. And I think that the game itself is a little more appealing because it's recognizable.
Mm-hmm.
Battleborn's a bit of a hybrid, so I don't think a lot of people instantly connected with it.
Okay.
And I think a lot of people just assumed that Battleborn and Overwatch were the same thing and went with Overwatch because it's Blizzard.
That's probably true.
Yeah, and they're not the same thing really at all.
Yeah,
it makes me sad that people are kind of ignoring it, but
yeah,
because I love Gearbox and I want to see them do well and be successful.
Of course, and I mean, I'm sure... They've already said that there's going to be another Borderlands coming, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Basically said it's not on the way, but they're planning it and it's happening and they're hiring to do all of it. So
cool, cool.
Yeah.
All right. So now we breezed that in about 20 minutes. Pretty quick.
Yeah, I got to adjust some volume. Hang on. Just keep talking.
Okay. I will keep talking then. Well, coming up in the next segment, of course, is our Discosh. And we're going to be recapping E3, and it's sort of like our on the radar, but real distant. Distant on the radar.
Yeah,
you know?
It's definitely,
How's the volume down there? Everything's good?
No, everything's good now. I just
needed
to tweak a couple of things.
Good deal, good deal. So yeah. I guess we'll start off by talking about EA. Now, for Bethesda, you've written on my sheet, penis, penis, penis. And I guess I'll start there. Bethesda as a whole, mm-hmm. I'm just talking about the whole entire...
As an entire penis.
As an entire conference penis, is about what I expected. And I think maybe a little bit disappointed about some things, but overall I think I wasn't surprised by anything,
right.
I guess is where I'm at.
Exactly.
And I'm okay with what they did. I thought they had a strong showing for what they had.
Here's what I created... brand new rankings for all these conferences and none of them are the same. So I've got these different scales that I've rated them on and each one is different just for fun. So Bethesda, I gave a ranking of the sequel to last year's conference.
Right, which was a great conference.
But more like Jaws 2 than The Godfather 2.
Oh, I see.
So it was good because some of the original cast was back.
Yeah.
Just didn't have the same impact.
I've not seen either of those films.
Oh my God!
But I've seen Jaws 1.
Okay. 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 I just had a stroke just now. I felt the same. I felt like Dishonored 2 went on way too long.
Yeah,
they beat that dead horse for a while.
That's their flag waver for this turn, and that's
whatever.
A little bit disappointed. I mean, yeah. I liked First Dishonored enough, but not enough to see 30 minutes of gameplay in a conference.
No,
I
thought, you know. Like they just kept going back to it. It was like,
yeah,
all right, so that's Dishonored 2. Now we're going to show you this reversal system. All right, that was Dishonored 2. All right, now we're going to show you the world, and I was just like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. For me, the biggest thing to come out of that was probably the VR announcements that they made.
That was kind of a surprise, but I also don't feel like it got the pop that I was expecting it to get from the crowd, or I was like, yay.
Yeah, that crowd was a little, crowds are busy, you know, tweeting and their media.
Yeah.
So they're not necessarily as big of fans as if you or
as
I were
we
there.
We are, yeah.
Yeah. So I took some like impression notes. Now I didn't actually do this live. This is kind of like a day later, me thinking back.
And that's probably better.
Yeah. So for Dishonored 2, I wrote, First Dishonored was okay. This is pretty. I like the story direction. Still don't want it. What was it I wrote for that?
It's a game that it's a game that I expect in 3 years' time will be like Games with Gold or
yeah, IP more than likely.
And I'll play it then.
For Quake, I wrote, cool, don't want it.
Yep.
Like, I was really glad that it came out.
I was like, cool, Quake. I'm happy for those people.
Yeah, me too. I think that's great. And actually, to be honest, if enough people get into it, like, because I know Brian and Tim, a lot of our friends, played Quake 2 a lot in their heyday. This might be their nostalgic trip for them.
Sure.
I might jump on that boat then.
Sure.
But personally, I could do without it and be just as fine.
I don't care.
And then for Prey, I wrote, wait, we already have Prey. Fuck your naming conventions. Looks cool, though. Couch co-op. I kind of want it.
Yeah.
Like, as I was watching the trailer, that was kind of the way I evolved.
I like a good sci-fi story, especially something that's not a... Because usually when you go to space in games, it can become... usually three things. Usually it's an RPG, something like Mass Effect, or it's like a shooter or a horror game.
Yeah.
And this looked like something kind of...
No, you're right. It looked like a nice marriage of all.
Yeah, and I like the look of it. So
a good three-way, if you will.
Yeah.
Menage a trois.
Yeah, boy. The thing that I liked, that I took away from the conference is Skyrim Remaster. I mean, that I will buy that.
You will buy that.
I will buy that.
If I hadn't put so much time into it and watched Tracy put so much time into it, like, I'm kind of sick of it now, but I do like that it's coming.
Yeah, and here's the thing.
Mods.
Like, mods, exactly. And
sorry, I didn't mean to beat you to the punch.
No, that's fine. That's fine. But yeah, me and Clayton, my brother-in-law, were texting during the conference, and I was like, Skyrim Master, he's like, you think we should pre-order it and pick it up at midnight? And I was like, yeah, we should. Because we did that for the original Skyrim release, so we should.
Yeah, just like it's 2011 all over again, man.
Exactly. And the other thing is, I think I said Skyrim Master, yay, shut up about Dishonored 2, and I need Doom. That was what I came away from the conference with, because, I mean, everything they show off about Doom just makes me want it even more.
And everyone I talked to about Doom, no one said anything like, it's overrated. Everyone's like, oh my God.
It's Doom, it's awesome.
I can't even imagine how good it could possibly be. Now, I did download the free level.
Did you play it?
I haven't played it yet, but I want to, just to get an idea.
It's like, so fun because the level, like, I'm not trying to spoil it, but I played through the first level. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you can just go full, I mean, there's no sprint button because you just go fast no matter what. But it's just like, you can just run through these levels. And like, if you were to run as fast and go through a level as fast as you do in Doom in, say, Call of Duty, you would beat the level in 2 minutes. But this just goes on and on and on. And there's, you know, demons everywhere. It's great.
Cool.
It's great.
Or should we move on to Microsoft?
Are
you done with Bethesda?
Let's talk about EA. For a second, did you have any EA notes?
No, I didn't. I actually made fun of EA by not mentioning it at all.
Smart. I have a couple of, you know,
okay,
EA
go ahead.
Notes. And it's pretty short. I gave it 1,914 points.
Okay, I get that. That's
okay.
The year reference.
And Battlefield 1 was all I saw or wanted to see. It's all I cared about from the EA conference.
I was hoping for college football, but I knew what would happen, so I didn't even watch it.
We would have heard about that before.
Oh, for sure.
But yeah, that's pretty much EA for me. I gave it 1,914 points because World War One, and that's all I wanted.
All right. Something else. My list was sabotaged once again. So after Bethesda, I have a giant penis.
Yeah,
and then followed by Microsoft. Mm-hmm. As a whole, and you'll get into this a little more in depth, I think, on your list, because you mentioned this to me earlier, but I was surprised there was no Crackdown 3.
Mm.
It's a game that I'm really excited about and wanted to see more of because I have some questions about how it's all going to work.
Sure.
Overall, though, I thought the show was pretty decent.
Yeah.
I think we talked about this. They didn't have a lot to show, but I thought what they showed, they showed well.
Yeah.
They were kind of like Sony last year. They lacked a lot of games, and they had to make up for it by being like, well, we got this hardware, and you know, here we got Gears. Okay, just focus on this for right now. We don't have a lot of other stuff at the current moment. I said B, kind of a B for me.
A B, okay.
Yeah, I'd say it's a pretty average. I put it on par with Sony last year.
Okay, yeah, that's a fair assessment.
Yeah.
For me, I gave it a rating of Cab Sav and Brisket.
Okay.
Because it was a good pairing of hardware announcement and software announcement.
Okay, fair enough.
That was my ranking for the show. And the main reason that I think that they were kind of skimpy on software is because they did have these hardware things that they wanted to talk about.
Sure.
So they had to get that in there somewhere. Like, I was excited about the Killer Instinct General ROM being included.
I thought that looked great. I'm not even a fan. I don't play the game a lot, but I thought that was great.
I'm excited about Forza Horizon 3 because I like Forza Horizon. And Gears 4, obviously, is the kingpin of the conference. But I thought, you know, leading off with the Xbox One S slim model, just get that out of the way.
Yeah.
And here it is. I thought that was cool. I may get one. I haven't decided because that's going to be releasing in PSVR kind of like in the same window. It's like I don't want to spend $800 on new hardware that I just can't
forget
do that.
About that TV.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm taking tax refund for the TV.
There you go.
Anyway, I thought it was good. And the fact that they, you know, dropped the Scorpio bomb at the end there.
Yeah.
I thought that was an interesting move. I don't know if it was good or bad, but it was like ballsy, I felt.
Yeah.
It was like, oh yeah, by the way, we're also doing this other thing that you won't hear about for a while, and then we're going to blow your minds with it. That's a whole different podcast discussing this whole, you know, I guess, fragmentation of their console generation, having three different SKUs on the market. But we'll see how that goes. That's something that we can just speculate about and have opinions on and no real
What's
answer.
The fun of it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we can do that. While we don't have answers, we can just make up our own.
Yeah, exactly.
For me, I'll get into some of the games. So basically, when I did these lists, I rewatched each trailer individually and kind of took down.
Okay, okay.
Because I wasn't wrapped up in the excitement of E3. I actually had time to focus on these games one at a time. Mm-hmm. So for, you know, Final Fantasy 15, which is a franchise that I've kind of fallen out of love with a few times in my life. It seems like every third one's pretty good nowadays. Mm-hmm. Graphically great. Mm-hmm. Crazy Japanese millennial hair everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Big Titan fight. Guy playing sucked the cock. That guy was no good at the game.
He was no good at that. That I felt bad for him.
Yeah. The camera angles in that game looked obnoxious.
Mm-hmm.
Music sounded a lot like Skyrim. And honestly, go back and listen to that trailer and listen to that music. There's a little bit of Skyrim
in there. Maybe a sample a little bit?
I think so.
Nice.
And the character dialogue was terribly cheesy.
At one point,
he goes, "No more Mr. Nice Guy!" while he's fighting the Titan, which I thought was...
But he's also a teen. You kind of have to, like, character-wise, you have to kind of put yourself in that space.
No more Mr. Nice Guy.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's not good.
It's not good.
Gears of War 4. Mm. That's one that we were both excited about.
Yeah, boy.
Not as intimate and horror-esque as last year's trailer, I thought.
Yeah, last one was like, it was sparse and dark, and you were wandering through hallways, and there was a storm.
Big throwback to the original.
Yeah. This one kind of Res Evil a little bit.
I would say so. And the original was kind of a little bit like that. It had that flavor.
It's definitely
a
horror game with action on top of it.
Yeah, and this one was way more action.
Mm-hmm.
Horde 3.0, but you clarified that for me today.
I did, yeah. I watched an interview with Rod Ferguson at work today. Well, listened more than watched, but you know, he clarified a few things, setting barriers and turrets and stuff like that. It's all going to be on the fly. You don't have to do it between rounds. You can pick up stuff and move it. There's no predefined areas. He was like, I didn't like that about Gears 3 because it kind of made it like a tower defense game.
A little bit, yeah.
And he's like, I want to be able to pick this stuff up and move it and repair it and put it where I want to at will. So that'll be cool.
That will be
a lot of fun. Change the strategy a lot.
Co-op looked fun, but they only showed two people playing instead of four.
Two player only.
That's okay.
Online and split screen local, though. So that's nice.
That is nice.
Yeah.
Saw blade gun. That got me going. Lots of wind.
Yeah, the wind looked awesome.
And want.
Yes.
Want that.
Definitely want.
Sea of Thieves. Terrible trailer, I thought. Like the thing where everything's frozen. I was like, this is not doing anything. It's just, this is basically just them showing me some of the characters that they have.
I didn't get to see that because I was having to watch this at work. So I didn't get to see that very well. And I haven't gone back and looked.
I didn't think that the trailer, like, not the gameplay demo that they did, the trailer was like, why even bother with that?
Yeah.
But I do love the graphical style still.
Yeah. Yeah.
I still have no idea how you play. And I watched some folks interview the guy from Rare who's over the game, and he divulged next to no information.
Okay.
It was like watching like an interview with someone like after a tragic event. Like, we cannot answer that at this time. It was like, come on, man, give us something. Like, what's the fucking point of the game? Can you answer that?
Yeah. Like, I still don't know that. I did read an article on Polygon where they were talking about the gameplay demo that they did and how basically everybody on the ship had to do something on the ship.
Okay.
So like some people were managing the sails, some people were looking out, some people were manning the guns, and that could all change organically. You know, it wasn't like you were just here.
Yeah.
If you wanted to do something else, you could go do something else. You could.
Right. Right.
And then basically there's no NPCs no NPCs in the world. It's all people. So, like, if you come up on another ship and you attack it, you know, it's PvP combat at that point.
Neat.
Yeah.
Okay.
If they can populate the world, that'll be awesome. Like, if there's enough people concurrently, I think that'll be fine.
I did like in the demo how there was, you know, two groups. I want to say there were maybe three teams vying off in this, and two of them had their shit going, and one had found a tavern, and they were all, like, drinking at the bar, and then a fight breaks out, and they have to, like, run back to their ship. I was like, that's kind of funny.
Yeah, yeah. So pirate stuff.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So the last few things I wrote were kids playing demo were annoying because they were, and then what's the fucking point of this game? I want it so bad. So
okay.
Once I figure out what you're doing,
what's the point?
Yeah, I'll certainly get it. Scalebound. I loved that last year. I thought that game looked great. This year,
I was never on board with this game.
I was like, shut that dude up.
Yeah.
He's way too much dialogue. But last year's demo I thought was great. It looked like a cool little idea. Kind of married Sunset Overdrive and, I don't know, just the idea of having a dragon by your side to do stuff with you sounded like a neat idea.
It does.
But it looks like it's going to be pretty cheesy and lame.
It looks like Devil May Cry a bit, too.
A little bit,
and
yeah.
That's not my scene.
I feel like it took a step back with this trailer for me. It looks fun on mute, but you know, that guy just talked the whole time, that character.
Yeah.
It was constant narration. There's a limit to that. I mean, everybody wants Nathan Drake to talk to them while they play, but Jesus.
Yeah, not this kid.
Occasionally, give it a break. And then for hardware, I wrote ZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZZ.
Yeah, you're not hardware.
And then you typed penises at the end of it.
I did.
But yeah, I don't. Part of it is I'm avoiding the hardware because I'm cheap and I don't want to have to convince myself that I need it. Do you have anything else from Microsoft there?
No, that's pretty much it. I thought it was a decent showing, and I thought the conference was put together well. I thought it was a nice, like, you know, two-prong strategy of here's some hardware, here's controllers, here's, you know, this awesome Gears controller, here's some more games, we're making a better console that has stupid amounts of power and will support VR. It was a nice, just kind of like 1-2.
It was very light on Phil Spencer. He usually makes more appearances throughout. He usually wears a number of t-shirts, which makes him a little more entertaining, I think, in some small way. It's like, oh, look, there's Phil. He's like me. He wears t-shirts.
Yeah.
He's very much boss in that one. He came out and was all business. So still kudos for that. I love Phil Spencer.
Yeah.
And I hope Microsoft continues to do well under his tutelage or whatever. The one thing that we forgot to mention that were two things, actually. The custom controllers were cool.
Yeah, I did bring that up, but yeah.
Oh, you did? And just the crossover play between PC and
that's
Xbox.
Interesting.
Looks like they're trying to take that to the next level.
They seem to be. And the cross-buy and cross-save and cross-play. That's cool.
That is cool.
I think it pisses a lot of people off, like, well, I don't need an Xbox, but whatever.
Well, yeah.
Whatever. It makes perfect sense for most people, and it's not taking anything away from you, so shut up.
Exactly. Makes gaming more accessible.
Yep.
Even if it only affects a small number of people in a small way.
Yeah.
Ubisoft. It's not good when a sequel to a game that nobody liked is your cleanup hitter.
Yeah.
I gave it a C overall.
Watch Dogs 2.
I really feel like without Aisha Tyler, their conference would be so bad.
I ranked this conference a that's nice, honey, with a pat on the head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They even had the balls to mention there's like a Dance Dance game coming out. I'm like, have you learned? We don't care about
we
that.
Don't care.
We don't. You can just put that on a shelf, like, and the people that want that will buy it.
Yep.
If you announce it here, no one cares.
No one cares. And that's the thing. Like, there was the only thing that I even took away from that conference was Ghost Recon Wildlands. That's the only thing that I was like, I could see myself playing this. Everything else was like...
Okay, I have one that you might have forgotten.
What's that?
I'll get to it. I want to go in order of my list.
All right.
I'm sorry.
All right, here we
I'll
go.
Start off with Watch Dogs 2 just because I wanted to get it out of the way.
It looks better, but...
It does look a lot better. That was my thing. Looks better than Watch Dogs 1. Still don't want it.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny? I would totally play this one if I hadn't played the first one. It's like
That's
I got so
point.
Burnt out on the idea of it. And I don't... It's kind of like... what was that game with the Infamous?
Mm.
It's like... The second one came out, and I was like, I've had enough. Like Dishonored 2. It's
yeah.
like,
yeah,
that
yeah.
game looks good, but I've had enough.
Right.
I played the first one. I'm okay. But here's the one that I think that you maybe a small part of your loins will tingle at it. For Honor. I thought the trailer looked really good. The demo looked like a lot of fun.
That one's one that I really think should be a free-to-play game.
Really?
It looks like a free-to-play game to me.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like
Why?
Like I could download Warframe or I could download something and get that experience.
It looks like they saw Chivalry and they were like, we could probably make a real game.
And I don't get me wrong. I love...
It looks like there's going to be a campaign.
Yeah, and I love all that. I really do. Maybe. It just did not stir my loins at all.
I'm sorry. Gosh,
yeah.
I thought I knew what did it for you, but I guess I don't.
I don't know. Maybe...
Well, here's the one that you do kind of like. Ghost Recon Wildlands.
Ghost Recon Wildlands, yeah.
To me, it looks like GTA multiplayer on steroids, which is not a knock on it.
No, no.
Lots of cocaine.
Yeah.
And I'll, like I said, I'll let reviews decide, and if friends get it, then I might get it. It's not a game I'm just going to go out and get. But
no, no. I need people to play that with.
Yeah, for sure. And I need people to tell me it's good before I get it.
Yeah. I mean, the strategy and like how they were like coming upon this place and calling targets out and... Now, all the different roles seem to be pretty well defined, and the vehicles, and you know, that looked fun.
It did look fun.
Yeah,
that's one thing you can say about it. It looked fun. South Park Fractured But Whole looked funny. It looked as funny as the first one.
Yeah, it's that whole trailer sequence was hilarious.
Now, see, I would have never played Stick of Truth if I hadn't gone to a friend's house and they hadn't handed me the controller and said, "Play a little bit of Stick of Truth," and then I was like, "Oh my god, this is actually pretty good," and I went and got it on my own. I think that gives me a better entry into this one because I already know what's in store.
I just don't care.
I didn't until I played it. And I think it's going to be a little different this time. The first one was very much making fun of how RPGs work.
Yes.
And this one's a little more into the superhero thing, so I don't know if the mechanics will be the same or different. But the quality of the first one, I was blown away because I was like, this is just going to be a cash-in game with for South Park. But everything is voiced. The story is actually written by them. It's actually really funny. And I don't watch South Park like I used to. I had my phase in life where I went through South Park and Family Guy left and right. And I don't want to say I grew out of it because I don't want to. If you like it, I'm not saying you're immature.
Right.
But I moved on to other things. But I still thought the game Stick of Truth was fantastic. So I'm a maybe at this point.
Okay.
If the right price comes along and then the opportunity comes along, I might pick it up if it's cheap at some point. But I am looking forward to it because I really thought the first one was really funny.
Yeah, and I'll say that whole explanation of why they were fractured was great.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, fractured but whole.
Fractured but whole.
And Trials of the Blood Dragon I already talked about, but it's out now. That's nice. That was one of the, E3 is good for every now and then. They'll just say,
oh no.
Yeah.
By the way, you can get it digitally.
Yeah. Or as Aisha Tyler said, it's out now. Actually, you have to wait until after the press conference. You have to finish watching the press conference first, and then it'll be so. I thought that was funny.
That was.
Is that it for Ubisoft for you?
Yeah, like I said, it's a That's Nice Honey.
That's Nice Honey.
I was just, all right.
If Aisha Tyler ever quits doing those press conferences,
oh God,
they
tank.
Should quit.
Yeah.
Cause
I like that they
together.
Put her in Watch Dogs, the first one.
Yeah, she was in there for sure.
That was pretty funny. It's like, yeah, you need to give her something.
Yeah, for real.
She's kept your E3 presence entertaining for years now.
Sony. Now
here we go.
As a whole,
yeah,
great event. It was very entertaining.
Oh my god, yeah.
They fan serviced Crash, lots of new IP, lots of surprises. A for me, Belle of the Ball.
Yeah, I gave this one a rating of ain't no party like a first party.
That is so true.
Yeah,
I mean they fucking shut it down.
It was the definition of show not tell. They didn't need someone out there to say, here's this great game with all these cool features. Here's mm-hmm. some numbers to back it up. It was just like trailer, 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 yep. trailer. Like they didn't have to hype anything. Everyone was hype on their own just because we're like, what is this?
Yeah.
What is this? I don't know what this is. And then, you know, you see Kratos step out of the shadows or, you know, it was just so good. Yeah. So well done. It was mature.
For sure.
It was a grown-up press conference.
I mean, I have a lot to say about this press conference, but just kind of reflecting back on the previous ones, 2013 is the one where they...
Yeah, dropped the mic on Microsoft.
Yeah, it was a corporate bitch smack.
Yeah,
like it was
awesome.
It was amazing. And that's coming from someone who likes both companies.
Yeah.
Just fine. I didn't like Don Matrick, but I'm still an Xbox owner, and I wanted them to do well. So,
yeah. But competition's good. We don't want that to die. But we don't want someone to win.
Right. But that live on stage beatdown was impressive. Jack Tretton just grinning ear to ear the whole time. It was great.
Amazing.
The next year, though, I thought Microsoft did a lot better.
Yeah.
And I thought they maybe...
traded blows a little bit.
Yeah, I thought they, you know, they might even, what you would say, 1E3, which I don't really like that term.
Yeah.
But it's pretty obvious when they do.
Yeah.
Last year, obviously, Bethesda, one game was what everybody wanted.
Just boom.
Did it all.
Everyone was like, all right, it's Sunday night, we can go home.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And then Sony this year came out with the live orchestra, which at first you're kind of like, what? Come on, games. But then you started to settle in. You're like, gee, this is pretty cool. And then they started showing the thing, and then the music kept going. And it's like, oh, this is great. Like they know how to put on a show.
It was amazing.
I got to say, though, God of War is not a franchise that I've played.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen other people play it. I totally appreciate it for what it is. I did not get excited about that trailer. I knew it was coming. I was happy for people that want to play it.
Yeah.
I think first of all, the naming.
That annoys you.
It constantly pisses me off.
Right.
And I don't think I'm alone. And I don't really know what you could do, because it sounds like they are kind of rebooting the direction.
Yeah.
And it's like, do you call it God of War Norse mythology? Like, maybe. That's okay. Maybe.
Yeah, but that sounds... there's a lot of...
But there does come a time when numbers are like Final Fantasy 15 at this point. Like, can you tell me the difference between Final Fantasy
13,
14, and 11 or something like that? Like, it's... Yeah,
those are kind of the same, actually.
You stop caring at a certain point.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess it's okay. But...
I'm going to talk about God of War for a second while we're here.
Move on. I'm done complaining about it.
Okay. Like God of War 1, 2, 3 and the prequel, which I don't remember the name of, but in the like the Chains of Olympus and the PSP ones, they were all just like button masher, you know, string together combos. Kratos was this just angry son of a bitch. You had motivation to kill people and you were angry at the gods, and he was just like this slightly two-dimensional character that was slightly tragic, but you didn't really give a shit.
Right.
And it was all just button mashing, string combos together, chains, swinging those chain blades around. And this looks like, first of all, he's a father, so he's instantly sympathetic.
Yeah.
Second of all, he's older, which is cool.
Bearded.
And then you throw Norse mythology on top of it, which makes me giddy as fuck.
Of course it does, because look at you. You look like a freaking Viking.
And the combat, I feel like, has evolved to something that's less button mash combo to more of like a Dark Souls, find your moment, strike the target, back out, plan your attack, and it's not just mash square and string things together. So I really like where it's going.
Yeah, it kind of looks like God of Uncharted, Last of Us of War.
Yeah. Oh my God. Like, I feel like The Last of Us was just everywhere in that conference, even though it never was. I feel like its influence was like everywhere in those games.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I did notice too, and I don't know if a lot of people picked up on it or maybe I saw it wrong, but I saw when the boy killed shot the deer, that on the screen it said that experience points were gained. So it's like maybe you eventually
RPG stuff.
Become the boy. Like, why would Kratos get points for what the boy did?
I honestly do feel like that. Like, I thought that initially when I saw that trailer, when I saw that little boy out there carving and going, and then he gets called in, and then it's Kratos. I'm like, the thought occurred to me is like, this is a handoff.
Yeah, it kind of seems that way.
Yeah, this is who you will be by the end of the game, and the sequels will pick up with this kid. I really do feel that that will happen. I could be proved wrong,
but
if
you play the
whole
game and the boy's with you, and he's just like, you're familial, and you're just, you know... You just summon your boy to go attack things.
That'd be awesome.
That would be kind of cool. So moving right along, gosh, I don't even know where to start.
Yeah.
I know you have a couple that I don't have listed, so right. be sure to fit them in here.
Okay.
Death Stranding.
Oh my God, yeah.
So we know nothing about the game still. We don't even know if he has a game engine. Although that said it was in engine, but it could have just been
in
engine.
He said this was in real time. He didn't really say it was in engine. Okay. So this is real time, so maybe it's engine. I don't know.
I don't know what that means.
He's been traveling the world looking for one, so.
I know he has. Yeah. Here's my thoughts that I wrote down were Norman Reedus with a fetus, which I thought was pretty clever at the time until I looked at Twitter and realized that I was one of millions. Kojima, exclamation point. What the fuck, exclamation point. Kind of want it, exclamation point. Yeah. The thing that really was cool was that the panning shot at the end.
Yeah, those five figures that were hovering.
That was really cool.
I was like, oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, it was like a Stephen King novel or something.
It's weird and it's going to be fucked up and it's Kojima and I'm all in. Just give this to me.
I want to understand it. I don't want it to go over my head. I want to grasp it, but I know that I'm not as deep as him. But do you think it was some kind of symbolism for his departure with Konami in some way? Like something was his baby and it was ripped away from him and it melded into the dead ocean.
That's a good
observation.
He's just
standing there very vulnerable and everyone, all eyes are on him and he's ready to
move on,
come back.
I don't know. I mean, I definitely could be. I did read some tweets. They were like blurbs kind of about the game and it was kind of his vague explanation as to what Death Stranding is going to be like.
Oh.
And it was kind of interesting because I had no idea what he meant. But it was like, you know, he was talking about the stick and the rope and about how, like, in the invention of man, in the history of man's inventions, two of the biggest things were the stick and the rope. The stick was used to keep things away from you and to defend yourself, keep things at bay.
Right, right.
And the rope was meant to bring things to you. Mm-hmm. And how that most games simply focus on the stick. Yeah. And how it's keeping things away and fighting and defending yourself. But this game is going to focus on both the stick and the rope.
Interesting.
And I was like, my God, you're so smart. Or you're just fucking high all the time. I don't know. But I was like, I don't know what that means, but I'm excited.
He's a brilliant mind. And even if I haven't enjoyed or played a ton of his works, just because
he's like the Cecil B. DeMille.
What you just said.
Oh, God.
I feel like I came in kind of too late for Metal Gear to really appreciate it.
Yeah.
And I don't want to jump in now because I feel like it'd be a lot of work. But I do respect the dude a lot. And I respect his kind of the two middle fingers he has up right now for Konami.
Ah, it's so good.
Very obvious and cool.
So good. Agreed.
Why don't you put one in? Because I feel like the one that I'm going to mention here may be one that we can both touch on pretty heavily.
We're going to talk about Days Gone?
No, we can. Okay. I wasn't going to. We can, yeah.
Days Gone from Sony Bend.
Yeah.
Who have been absent for a while. Mm-hmm. The last game I think they put out was the Uncharted Golden Abyss for Vita, and that was like probably 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And of course, they have a great lineage of action games from Siphon Filter.
Yeah,
and
Siphon Filter.
That's no cool. one has seen anything or heard anything, but we knew that they were working on something. And yeah, this is an interesting game. It's, you know, it's Motorcycle Club / Bounty Hunter and this post-apocalyptic world where there are zombies, and the zombie AI looked really cool, and like their movement I thought was cool.
Yeah.
I feel like the open world action survival zombie game is maybe sunsetting a little bit, so I feel like this may be a little late. But Sam Witwer's in it. He's the starring character. He was the guy from Force Unleashed 2 in Force Unleashed. He's an actor who loves video games. So I'm excited to see him again. And I don't know. I'll play it. I'll certainly play it because it looks like a lot of fun. And I think it'll be a nice story-driven game, which is something I'm all about because that's what Ben does.
Oh, cool.
So.
Cool. For me, I just thought, you know, a lot of zombie games, there are, what, five in this conference? And we call it sunsetting, but they're still pretty prevalent.
Yeah, they are.
It's easy to make games out of that.
I'll definitely play that. Long before I'll play Dead Rising. Long before.
Yeah, and the Dead Rising actually looked okay. But
yeah.
It's a little played out for me. And I don't know if I can identify with this main character, per se. Like, he kind of hops off a hog. He's got a mullet, and he's wearing a leather jacket. And I was kind of like, okay, what is this? Ride to Hell Retribution 2?
Oh,
like,
God.
This doesn't look great starting out.
Yeah.
It kind of picked up steam there a little bit. And then the hordes of zombies... I want to know if it's like an open world zombie survival game, because that maybe I could get behind.
I don't think it is.
But I mean, I'm okay with story too. If it's linear and story driven, that's fine. It's not high on my list. That's not high on my list. I would say
it's in the middle.
He could stand to move for me, yeah. But and only because I think just if I see another zombie game, I'm just going to puke.
I know, I get that.
Yeah, you know
that.
What I mean?
But I have to say these are some of the better looking zombies that I've seen.
And they're so easy to make games for, and that's not saying that people that make games for them are shallow or anything. It's
right.
Just it's so much easier. Like if you want to make a game where you're shooting a lot of things.
It's fodder.
It's easier to shoot. It's easier to stomach shooting zombies than it is people.
I agree. Yeah.
And if you want something that can be attributed to this world and you're not wanting to shoot like aliens and robots, zombies make sense.
Yeah.
They're an easy go-to. So I'm okay with it. I'm just kind of on the fence. Do you have another one?
Last Guardian. I'll play it.
Yeah. Horizon, though. That's the one I was trying to get you to say.
Okay.
That's the one you want to...
That's the game for me.
Yeah.
I love everything I see about this game.
Cool.
I love the art. I love the setting. I like the mechanics. I like the animation. It just floored me. And the fact that it's from Guerrilla Games, who previously just made Killzone stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, here they are doing a third-person action-adventure game, and you're making these character animations that are so awesome. And like the view switching between like shooting and scanning the creatures and running around is like all seamless. So it's like, man, this is impressive.
Yeah.
Impressive.
It looked pretty cool. I think the thing that I was most impressed about it was when she starts anchoring it to the ground.
Yeah.
And they kind of reacted in the way that I would expect them to, having been like that. Like, that was really neat. For like in terms of just like a sunny open world, run around, scavenge, kill things and solve stuff, I was really holding out for Zelda for that.
Right.
And it delivered. So I would put those pretty close to together.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're mechanically, I think they're very similar.
And as we'll get to shortly later, because I know that it's more of a me thing than a you thing, the Zelda fit the bill for pretty much what I wanted. But I'm glad that game tickles you the way it does, because I like it's got that cool female lead. It has like a really cool story working on it. Now, I'd like to know a little bit more about why they're hunting these things. I'm sure
scrap
they're building. Like,
yeah.
I'm sure that's in there.
The game really is figuring it out.
Yeah, and that's cool. I think that's great. And then The Last Guardian, like you said, it looked, you know, we could have not seen the trailer and still known what it was all about, but they wanted to, like, you know, they like the crowd.
And they dropped that release date. Boom.
Well, that was nice. Yeah, later this year, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, cool.
Okay, so here's the one that was the bell of the ball for me, the one that I predicted, if you go back.
Okay.
Because I looked at it today. If you go back
here
to...
Here we go.
You know, what is it, like maybe 1 hour and 12 minutes into the last podcast.
Okay.
I said, it seems like it's more of a Sony thing. We might see Resident Evil 7. Now, I'm sure a lot of people said that.
Probably. But you said it, and that's what's important.
But if you look at any reaction video on the internet from any video game pundit whatsoever.
Yeah.
Even when that 7 pops up on the screen.
Everyone's like.
No one still knows.
7.
What's about to happen. Everyone's like, 7 what's? Isn't that the name of the game? Is it 7? And then when Resident Evil pops up, everyone just loses their mind.
Yeah, boy.
Including me. And so
You were hype.
I was so excited for that. For a number of reasons. The trailer was great.
It was nice.
It was really
very nice.
Creepy, scary. And, you know, it says a lot about how off the rails 5 and 6 got when we saw that trailer and no one thought it was Resident Evil.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this looks like PT, Outlast, you know, that Silent Hills, you know, what we wanted.
And it said full VR, which we already kind of thought, well, they probably didn't make a Resident Evil for VR, because at this point we're
fully
still thinking that VR is still way out there.
Right. Especially for a, you know, big franchise.
For AAA.
Yeah.
And for a game that's not already out, like Bethesda entertained, you know, the idea of Doom and Fallout 4.
Right.
And we're like, well, those games already exist. Maybe it was easier for them to...
Move it over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Evidently not the case. So I wrote... and you sabotaged my paper again.
Yeah, boy.
I wrote crazy good trailer. Then I wrote very scary, but you have written it so that it says very scary penis. And I said, oh my God, it's Resident Evil 7. It's back to the roots. It's in VR. Oh my God.
Yeah.
So the back to the roots thing is the biggest part of it, because I think that was the part when people saw that it said Resident Evil 7, and then they kind of remembered what they had just seen.
Right.
They got even more excited. They're like, oh my God, this is going to be a really good Resident Evil. At least we hope. But just based on what
It's promising. Very promising.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You played the demo a little bit, you said?
I've downloaded it, but I haven't played it.
Okay.
In true Jake form, I've not played a video game in a week.
You play with the lights on, with the sun out?
Yeah.
I don't blame you.
But I think, you know, the fact that it's in VR kind of segues a little bit into the whole VR thing that they dropped.
Yeah. So that was next for me.
Yeah.
And right after that, they wasted no time. This was
it's like,
the way Sony was doing it that night.
Yeah.
If they were your favorite band, they would have never stopped to ask how the crowd was doing.
Yeah, they were just playing the hits.
Yeah, just playing the hits, the oldies. So after that, they hit, I think Star Wars music starts playing right after that.
And then boom, here's...
Like, they didn't even give you time to change your pants.
They crammed so much. Yeah.
They just went ahead and started playing Imperial March or something. And then, so Star Wars is...
Battlefront X-Wing. X-Wing pilot. And it seems to be just like a one-off experience. I don't think it's like an entire game. But that doesn't matter. I'll play that over and over again.
But I think when you see it factored into the rest of this catalog, they're going to have 50 games. Those 50 games include Resident Evil 7, Batman, which looked good.
Yeah.
Mark Hamill.
And it's by Rocksteady.
By Rocksteady.
Gotta love it.
Didn't see any gameplay, but really didn't need to.
Don't care.
So Batman and Star Wars, and then there were a number of others. But just those three games alone almost make that worth it. I mean, those are... solid properties that are being supported for this.
Big franchises.
And were those three specifically exclusive to PSVR?
I think they were, from what I could gather. And there was a couple of others, like one called Farpoint, which I read on somebody on the PS4 subreddit. It was like, I'm on the show floor, I played these games, here's my impressions. And they're like, Farpoint is going to change the way we play first-person shooters. Like, it was so good.
Wow.
So I'm impressed, because honestly, from the trailer, I was like, this looks cool. I have no idea how this is going to work, because, you know, it's first person mobility and first person games and VR. That's
going to
be a little
right
tricky. But yeah, it apparently it was awesome. So I'm excited where it's going.
Well, your prediction hasn't been discredited for maybe No Man's Sky being a part of that.
It hasn't. I think they would have said something.
They might have, but I feel like they weren't touching it just because the pushback was a little rough
for everybody.
Maybe. But maybe if they had showed that, people been like more understanding. Like, so maybe it's not coming. I feel like that would have been an open opportunity to get some of the death threats away from that poor fella.
Yeah, Sean Murray. What a man.
But in terms of the VR, like, I'm probably a ways off from getting this device because I would have to get the console and then the unit.
Right. Yeah, you're throwing well, at this point, $800 at it.
Right. And then doesn't the upgraded PlayStation will be better for VR, they said.
They didn't say that.
I've read that. They didn't say it at the conference, but I could have read that anywhere, so it might not be that credible. But I've kind of gotten in my head that if I were going to get the PSVR, I'd probably get the beefed up PlayStation, which would mean I'd probably get the beefed up TV. So it keeps adding.
Yeah,
at that point.
Does.
But I will wait for reviews and pricing and things like that.
Sure.
Maybe an opportunity will come where I can actually play Resident Evil 7 in VR, and maybe we can get an underwear place to sponsor us. Maybe MeUndies or something can jump on board. And
Cottonelle, too.
Cottonelle, yeah, wet wipes.
Something.
And then real quick, Nintendo.
Yeah.
It was all Zelda. They
Short but
like,
sweet. Yeah.
They tried to fit Pokemon in there when no one cared about
it.
It
was like,
Yeah, Reggie came out, said the piece about the Orlando folks and how, you know, Christina Grimmie, who was supposed to be a part of their show, was unfortunately not able to make it because of that, or a similar event. And then, you know, had that moment, introduced the Zelda trailer, so everyone's kind of coming back to video games for a second. And then Pokemon for 30 or 40 minutes. It was kind of like, while we have your attention, check this out.
We're going to shove this down your throat for a minute.
Yeah, and then they pulled out of that and went back into Zelda pretty hard for the next 48 hours. Pretty uninterrupted, like just letting tons of people, a lot of YouTubers I follow, a lot of media, go in there and spend a lot of time with this game just in this one area of the map. And it was crazy how different everyone's experience was in this area of the map. Now, this map is supposed to be evidently really huge.
Yeah, 12 times bigger than Twilight Princess is what they're saying.
Yeah, which is, and it's supposed to, well, I think it's a little bit disjointed. Like, I think...
There are areas.
There are areas, but they're still connected.
Okay.
So it's not like, I feel like in the previous Zelda games, there's...
You enter one and exit another.
Yeah, pretty much. I think this is a little more fluid, but man, it just looks fun.
It does.
It looks fun. And I will say I would say whelmed when I saw the trailer. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, cool. Honestly, you know, we've seen footage for, what, 2 years now?
Yeah.
So it's not like it was a big ooh moment, but it was like, okay, this is what it should be. I'm glad it is. That's kind of what my reaction was. This looks right.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, wow, that's awesome, and I wasn't disappointed. I was like, yes, this is what it should be. Just release the freaking thing.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it did. And I will say, when I actually watched people get their hands on it and play it and get their impressions of it, then I started to get really excited about it because I started seeing some of the little things that are making it a lot different.
Mm-hmm.
And man, it just looks like...
It looks more RPG-ish than some previous iterations.
You know, I would say so.
Inventory screen with, you know, loadouts and being able to like dress Link the way you want and that sort of thing. It's like, oh, okay, so this is like... an RPG now, not just an action RPG.
Yeah. Pretty much.
To an extent.
Yeah. And I think one thing that people said that makes me really happy, two things that make it hark back to the original Gold Cart game, mm-hmm. is number one, there's no opening, like I think there's a little bit of an opening story where Link wakes up, but once he's up, you're in the game. You're not sitting through dialogue like, Link, where's your sword? Link, what are you doing? Link, you've been abducted. Link, go here. Like, you wake up and you're like, all right, well, there's a world and now I have to go do something. So that was cool.
That's something that I think is really important for games now is to mm-hmm. instantly grab your attention.
Get me in the game.
Let me do something interesting now.
Yep.
And then don't take it away 5 minutes later like some games do. I hate that.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, here's all the powers you can have. Oh, by the way, we're going to take them all away and then you have to get them again. No, I hate that. Just let me be cool.
Pretty much. And I can't remember what the second thing was, but I will say it reminded me of the first one in another way because near where you start out, there's a little man in a cave and you go and you talk to him and he gives you a little bit of, gives you some hints about how to weaponize yourself and that kind of thing. Mm. So it reminds me of that first opening sequence of the original where you go into the cave and
get the sword.
Don't go alone, whatever.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
Nice.
So we had some fan questions.
Yeah, yeah.
We had five fans ask us some questions. The first one from Diego, who says, isn't promoting the Xbox S really supporting eating disorders? And I got to think no. I got to say no on that one.
Okay.
I'm not real sure how that fits. I know it's slimmer, but what if it just worked out more?
Yeah.
You know, what if it's a leaner diet. It's not chewing fatty discs anymore. It's more digital.
It doesn't seem to be a purging thing or, you know, it's smaller, quieter, more powerful. So yeah, it definitely seems like it's just worked out.
I think so.
Trim the fat a bit. Optimized.
This next question is from a lawyer.
Okay.
It says, should Hideo Kojima's new butt-filled game be on VR so Tina from Bob's Burgers can touch the tushy?
Yes.
I agree with that.
100%.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, touch the tushy. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. This next one is from a Latino, and it says, is Ricky's hidden gem for the Xbox Halo? And, of course, he knows that Ricky's name is really Rusty.
Yeah, he does.
I think Halo is probably a hidden gem.
No one's heard of it.
So, we not many people out there have heard of it. So it is a hidden gem. So he might
for
get to that.
Sure.
And this last question is from Mr. Avila, and it says, did Sony and Nintendo make the right move to stay hush-hush about their new systems?
Now, this is a good question.
That's a legit question.
We can sink our teeth into it a bit.
Yeah, think our teeth into.
I think the answer is...
Drum roll?
Kind of.
Yeah.
Because I don't think... I think it was smart for Microsoft to acknowledge that, yes, this is coming. And I would have loved to have seen Nintendo say, yes, this is coming, and Sony do it. But in the long run, I don't think it really helped Microsoft.
It didn't.
To say, yes, it's here. We acknowledge its existence. I think Andy House talking to whoever that was, Wired or some French publication, saying, yeah, we got it. It's coming. Just acknowledge it. That's really all I wanted. Because you can't let all these rumors just fester and people speculate without acknowledging it from a corporate standpoint. But Nintendo's already done that.
Right.
Sony's already done that. Microsoft just did it with the world's eyes upon them. Did it help them in the long run? We don't know.
I mean, from my armchair perspective, which means very little.
Sure.
If I look at it in terms of what they wanted to get the most out of with these press conferences, mm-hmm. I feel like Microsoft felt like they had to because they had this kind of weak press conference.
Yeah.
I mean, they're probably like, well, we have let's talk about the S. We're already going to release the Slim. They probably already had that night. They were probably already going to do that. But, like, let's talk about the Scorpio a little bit just to have a strong finish here at the end because mm-hmm. we have Gears. We've showed that last year. We have tons of games we've already showed. Let's give them something new to think about.
Yeah.
For Sony,
They had so much in the pipeline. They didn't need to.
They didn't have to.
Yeah,
they knew that.
I feel like
games...
Nintendo needed to, but they just weren't going to.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what I was going to get to is that Sony has all these great games. They already said they promised games for VR, which is kind of the same thing.
Yeah,
and then Nintendo more than anybody needed to.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I mean, you showed one game.
One game.
Which is, but it's a great game, and
still,
people will buy it for both
one
systems.
One game.
It's one game.
I'm not going to, like me, I want to play this game. I want to play Breath of the Wind.
Which is an awful name, by the way.
Yes. I want to play it, though. But am I going to drop $250, $200 on the system just to play this one game?
Yeah, whether it is the Wii U you pick up on Craigslist or the NX that you get
right
out of the store, you're still going to have to buy a console for it. A lot of people will if they really want to play it, because this is going to be the only Zelda for the system.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it's out of the question, but that's a big commitment.
Yeah, and I was hoping they would release at least tease something else.
Yeah.
But they didn't, so we'll see. I mean,
that's how they roll, man.
I hope the best for them, but it remains to be seen.
Yeah, boy.
All right. So that pretty much wraps up the show. How much time did that eat up?
Well, I got some stuff to say.
Jake wants to talk for a second.
I want to talk for a minute.
Jesus.
All right. So, and I've got a couple of lists here.
Oh,
sure. I got some favorites, and we can discuss these. Some of these we've already touched on, but I'm going to say some notable omissions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that. Please do that.
From the conference.
Yes.
First of all, we already talked about Crackdown 3.
Yeah.
Wasn't present from Microsoft.
And that's what I really want.
Likewise. Very interested. Final Fantasy VII Remaster.
Where did that go?
Where was it?
Man.
No one even breathed a word of it.
Nope.
Saw it last year. We know it's episodic. People have hated that. People are kind of okay with it now.
Yeah.
And we still get nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
We've been thinking about it for
a year. That's the biggest omission, in my opinion, of the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's the one that got one of the biggest pops last year for Sony, mm-hmm. and they didn't even bring it up.
Yep.
Weird. Wolfenstein. From Bethesda.
Now, they teased it a little bit.
They teased it. Was it
Colossus? Something?
Yeah, the new Colossus. It was on that like little boot-up screen mm-hmm. that they did. Somebody on NeoGAF snagged that image and was like, ooh, look.
Right.
I mean, that could be just a fake thing, because once again, they're going with the naming convention.
They wouldn't do that
to us. I don't know. They're who knows?
Bethesda's, they wouldn't do that to us.
I don't think so. One that is notable but not surprise, PS Vita. Didn't get a whisper.
Didn't get a whisper. Kind of like the Kinect. Like, they didn't even put ports on that thing for they're just...
Yep, we're done with it.
This is our way of saying goodbye to it.
Yeah.
It had a good life.
And
except for the Kinect, it did not.
Right. But yeah, nothing for Vita at all. Not even an image. Hmm. Nothing. Crazy. Gran Turismo Sport.
Really?
Which is, their flagship racing game for Sony. Didn't get a whisper.
Would have gone well head-to-head with that Forza, which they tend to come out a little more frequently than
Gran Turismo is going to be fully playable in PSVR. They didn't even bring it up. So, man. Weird.
Yep.
But maybe it's because everyone knows about it. They just wanted to give new stuff. Maybe whatever. But still kind of weird. Shenmue 3 did not show up at Sony press conference.
I kind of understand that because it just got funded. There's probably not a lot to show. But the thing
just got funded?
Well, I mean, within the last year, I don't think they have a game ready yet.
I mean, an update would have been cool.
Yeah, maybe. Sure. Or like maybe a small...
Like, hey, we're spending your money wisely. Look, here's some progress.
But I think you can get that from Kickstarter, right? Or whatever.
Maybe.
But the thing that I'm surprised they didn't do was... And I'm not too surprised, but a remaster of 1 or 2.
Yeah.
Just to... And maybe that's not...
And they've talked... I think that's been brought up at some point.
Well, it's weird because if I win a Kickstarter for... I'm going to make a third one, and that ignites them to remaster 1 and 2. I feel like my Kickstarter is kind of responsible for the fanfare that 1 and 2 get. That just seems kind of underhanded. Like, we're not going to fund your third game, but we're going to make a lot of money off the hype you get.
Yeah.
That seems kind of shitty to me.
I agree with that. Once again, it's not necessarily a surprise that I didn't see it, but just notable.
Right. It was notable.
I bet a bit of an echo there that it wasn't there. Uncharted 4 DLC. I kind of anticipated something from that.
Really? You think do they have DLCs to play?
Yeah, they're going to have single-player, story-based DLC for Uncharted.
Oh, cool.
And no mention of that. Hmm. Naughty Dog did not even show anything. So, kind of strange.
Yeah.
Colin Moriarty of Kind of Funny speculated, he's like, with Sony Bend rolling with a zombie game, do you think that Naughty Dog is working on The Last of Us 2, which would be another zombie game? Would Sony have two first-party zombie games running at the same time? Good question.
Is Naughty Dog, did they remaster the Crashes? Or did someone else?
No, someone else is doing that. It's like Vicarious Visions or somebody, I think.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. Last notable omission from Sony.
Drum roll.
Dreams by Media Molecule. Which is like this, it was a game that was announced last year. It's kind of like you can create your own world and create your own stories in it. It's kind of like this pastel, chalk, fluffy cotton world that you can do all sorts of crazy fun stuff in.
Yeah.
And no showing.
You know what game I forgot to completely mention from Sony that I really, really want?
What?
Or that I'm really, really interested in and will probably get and want?
What's that?
Detroit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
That was a really cool trailer.
I'm not... I'm not sold yet just because of those choice-based games.
I had a lot of fun with Heavy Rain.
Okay.
And like the choice-based games, it's a lot of it's an illusion.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I can still get caught up in illusion.
I mean, games are illusions.
Yeah, so I'm okay with it. But so that looked... The twist on that, like, everything about it, and just the way they presented the trailer, like, we're going to show you a lot of the ending. Like, you assume it's the ending of the game.
Right.
And we're going to show you how a lot of this can pan out. But, I don't know, just a lot of tension, and I just really enjoyed it.
Now, it looked cool, and yeah. It looked amazing. And, once again, quoting Colin Moriarty, who is jaded as F, he played the demo, and he's like, I just played the Detroit demo. All I can say is, wow, like, all caps, just wow.
He doesn't wow much.
No. So I was pretty like, that's pretty impressive. So I'm interested to see where that goes and why it was such a wow factor.
Absolutely. Sorry to cut you off earlier.
No, it's fine.
You got more?
I got more. Several more things. I hope you're okay with that, old puss.
I was trying to keep it... I knew that we had a lot to talk about. So
we do.
I was trying to be,
that's good. We've been rolling.
Oh, good.
Notable surprises.
Yeah.
From all the conferences. A big one for me was the Spider-Man game.
You were surprised by that?
I was surprised.
I guess I was surprised, but not like in a way that I would give it money. I was like, oh, more Spider-Man. Wow.
But how long has it been since there's been a good Spider-Man game?
Has there ever been a good Spider-Man
game? Yeah. Spider-Man 1 and 2 by Neversoft on PlayStation 1.
I played one for PlayStation 2 that wasn't awful to me.
Yeah. I think it was movie-based, though, yeah?
Probably.
This one is not. It's not tied to anything.
Right, of course.
Which is cool. And everything that we saw was gameplay footage.
Was it?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So that makes me happy, because it was really pretty. I like
it
the style.
It was really nice, yeah. And everybody loves the origin story. Everybody loves the villains in Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And it's pretty friendly for just about any fan of heroes and that kind of thing. So,
and apparently it's part of Marvel's new initiative to make really good video games for their properties.
Good.
So they need to.
Bring it.
Yeah, because DC's got at least one good franchise.
They do. Where they lack in movies, they certainly made up for it with the Batman Arkham series, yeah. In my opinion.
Agreed. Another big surprise, Resident Evil 7. And not so much for you, but like for the world.
I was still, I was like everybody else.
Yeah.
I thought it might show... And I still saw the trailer, made it all the way to 3 seconds left in it, and still didn't know what it was until they put the words on the screen. And
that was legit.
Sharded hard.
It was great.
Batman VR.
It was good.
Kind of a surprise. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Rocksteady, Mark Hamill, awesome.
Yep.
Let's roll with it. Death Stranding. I had no idea we would see Kojima.
Yeah, I didn't either.
No idea. I thought he might come out and say, hey, everybody, I'm back. I'm working on a game.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And kind of roll with it.
I could see that
we got an announcement, we got a title, we got a little bit of context, whatever that means.
Mm-hmm.
I was excited. I guess the last big one for me, which didn't really come out at E3, but it happened during the week of E3, so I'm gonna say it.
Sure.
Bulletstorm is getting a remaster. I love that game.
Really?
Have you ever played it?
I've seen folk play it.
It's so fun. It's so filthy. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, filthy fun.
Yeah, it's what Duke Nukem should have been.
Yeah, the last Duke Nukem was
for sure.
Like 15 FPS.
All right, so I'm going to ask you this,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to give you my answer. What was your favorite game from the Sony conference?
Favorite game?
Just one game from the Sony conference. What was your favorite?
From the Sony conference?
From the Sony conference.
Resident Evil 7.
Resident Evil 7.
Absolutely.
Okay, all right.
That's my jam.
Game for me was Horizon Zero Dawn.
I know.
Yeah.
I could tell by the incessant texting that you did throughout that whole thing.
I'm pretty excited about it. Xbox, Gears of War 4, my favorite.
Yeah, Gears of War 4 for me. But with some strong interest in Sea of Thieves.
Okay. Okay, smart. Battlefield 1 from EA, by far, best game they had.
Yeah, I mean, didn't they mention Andromeda?
They mentioned it, but...
That's the only thing I'm excited about from EA, and they kind of poo-pooed it.
Right. Once again,
yeah.
Another year goes by. From Ubisoft, or Ubisoft?
Yeah.
Ghost Recon.
Trials of the Blood Dragon. I was most excited about that, honestly.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
You did react to that one pretty good.
Yeah.
You were excited.
It might say a lot about what was around it, honestly.
True. It may have been a pearl among swine.
I think there's some good games in that catalog, but... I mean, a lot of them for me are 2 or 3 years later.
Really surprised we didn't see something Far Cry related.
Yeah.
You know, it's been since February since we had something, so I figured it would be here.
I'm glad they're not making it an annual thing.
Yeah. Well, they never have, really. It's been kind of every other year.
I know.
Year.
I'm just glad.
But yeah, yeah.
It's not starting.
And Nintendo, obviously, Legend of Zelda. That's pretty much all they had, but it would have won no matter what.
Absolutely.
And I have a few favorite indie games that were shown at E3.
Sure. Now, this might be... This is not my wheelhouse, but I'll do my best.
There's one that you saw. It was at the Xbox show, We Happy Few.
Yeah.
I'm very interested in this game.
Pretty Bioshock-like.
Yes. Dystopian.
Creepy vibe.
Creepy. Don't really know what's going on, but I'm very intrigued. I like the style.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it kind of looks like a little bit like Equilibrium meets Clockwork Orange with Bioshock layered on top.
That's perfect description.
Yeah, I'm excited. I really want to play it. Below was there. Oh my God.
How many E3s has it been at?
This is like the third.
Yeah.
I just really want to get it and play it.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
They flashed Cuphead up on the screen.
Yeah, Cuphead, once again. And that's another one on my list.
That should just be a running joke. They should never release that game and show it at every E3
from now on.
Yeah.
Just like,
That thing has been at more E3s.
It's a Scorpio launch title or something. I don't know what they're going to do with it.
It's been at E3. It's been at more E3s than Miyamoto. Like, it's...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's so old.
It's yeah. Ugh. But I want it. I still want to play it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a 1930s Disney-style bullet hell game? Yes, please.
Yeah, why
give
not?
It. And finally, Abzu. Are you familiar with this one?
I don't know.
It's an underwater exploration adventure game. It seems to be fairly short in length, so there's like some, boundaries to it. So it's not like you just endless sea or endless ocean on Wii where you just swam around and did nothing forever. But this one's kind of like, it reminds me of Journey, but underwater.
Okay.
And it's scored by Austin Wintory. So
there you go.
Big props, for me and to him. Really want to play that. I feel like I'm dragging on a little bit, so I'm going to keep moving.
Please.
I feel like you're dying on me.
You're doing great, man.
All right. Favorite games not shown at any presser. Two of these from Sony. One, Gravity Rush 2. I am really digging the style. Gravity Rush 1 was a PS Vita exclusive. It was remastered and put on PS4. They're making a sequel. So it looks awesome.
I don't remember that.
It wasn't shown at the press.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was just on the show floor.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah. And the other is Bound,
man, which I'm blanking on all these, man.
Yeah, well, they weren't shown. That's why I'm bringing them up.
Because how do you find out? Do you get like Indie Weekly, like a magazine or some shit?
No, I just dig.
Oh, okay.
I just dig. But Bound looks really cool. It's very colorful, very geometric, kind of low poly style, but running at a very high frame rate, cool effects. Looks like a action platformer with some cool colors going on. So I'm excited to play it.
Cool deal.
And lastly, game of the show. What's your game of the show?
The whole thing.
The whole thing. From this past week, the favorite thing that you saw.
Man, there are a lot of things.
Yeah, I know.
That rank up there.
I know you got Res Evil, you got Detroit, you got Legend of Zelda. I think those are probably your biggest three. I could be wrong.
You're right. Those are my biggest three.
Yeah.
I can't get so excited about the other ones because I've not seen a ton of gameplay.
Right.
And I can't play the Resident Evil VR and the Detroit game is exclusive Sony. So I think the one I'm most excited about is Zelda because I think that's when I can get my hands soonest.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
When is the release date for that?
I want to say March 2017, but I'm not 100%.
So they're going to launch it. Oh my God, it's still that far away?
I could be wrong. Let me look it up real quick.
No, I mean, that makes sense because they would probably want to launch it with the NX because apparently that's when the NX is releasing is March 2017.
Yeah.
Apparently, if it doesn't get pushed. I think that's a weird time to release a console, and I think it's kind of silly to keep Zelda in the chamber that much longer, but whatever. I don't know. I'm not making the game.
It says it launches in 2017 on the Wii U and the NX, so I guess really no hard date.
Yeah.
But early 2017. First quarter, I think.
It's crazy. Yeah.
What about you?
It's Horizon.
Really?
Yeah.
Still, man.
Still.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah. Haven't been that excited for a game in a long time, honestly.
Huh.
I love it. I mean, mechanical dinosaurs and primitive weaponry and it looks awesome.
Cool deal. You know, when you said Alex Wintory, is it Alex?
Austin.
Austin, I'm sorry. Austin Wintory. You reminded me of a tidbit that I learned not long ago. You know, Jeremy Soule did the Skyrim soundtrack.
Oh, composition? Yeah.
Composition, yeah.
Yeah.
He also did Secret of Evermore, and it was his first game. Huh. He was barely 18 when he did it.
Holy crap.
And that's a game I'm playing right now, so I thought that was unique and interesting.
Very neat.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry to digress.
No, that's fine. That's a cool story. Cool story, bro.
So what else, man? E3, what an episode this was.
I mean, that's it. That's all I've got.
That's all you got?
I just wanted to go through all that stuff.
Yeah. It's a fun time of year, man.
It's the best time of year. And, you know, we got Tokyo Game Show. We've got Gamescom, Paris Games Week. All rolling through.
Yeah,
so
we'll have a few more things
to throw out there. Red Dead didn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really expect Rockstar to make a showing.
They don't do that. Might see some Dark Cloud 3. Level 5 doesn't usually do E3s either, unless it's some huge American thing they're trying to push.
I feel like they're on the Nintendo bandwagon right now. A lot of their releases have been with Nintendo.
Professor Layton, Sony,
Fantasy Life.
Yeah. You're more apt to do it with them than anybody else.
Yo-Kai Watch was theirs. So,
yeah. All right, man. Well, that might do it for us then.
I think that's the episode.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in here to episode 21. As always, you can catch us on social medias. I am at TravPlaysGames on the Twitters and Instagram.
Yeah, boy. I am also the McAxel on the Twitter and the Instagram.
You can find us together on Twitter at Polykill. We are also on Facebook, facebook.com/PolykillPodcast.
And Polykill.com.
Give our page a like. Visit Polykill.com for blogs. Brian just did a blog about all the VR stuff that was at E3.
Yeah, lots of fun stuff.
Got a lot of traction there on Reddit. That was a good article.
Yep.
And be sure to check out YouTube. I got some funny stuff coming up there. And what else, dude? Is that it?
I think that's it. We just...
I thought there was like one other thing.
I don't know. I can't keep up with
iTunes.
It all.
Rate us on iTunes.
Yeah, iTunes, please. Yeah. Thank you for doing that if you have already. Tell your friends, to listen to us because...
Yeah. Tell your friends or your Nana. You know, we're maybe, what, 5 F-bomb show? She can fucking take it.
Yeah. She can deal with it.
She watches HBO dramas.
Yeah.
She's heard it before.
She's seen The Sopranos.
Yeah, she's seen The Sopranos.
We're like half as bad as The Sopranos.
Half as bad. Not even half, I would say.
Yeah. No, we're about half.
About half? Okay. Yeah. All right.